You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
One big nationwide, actually international, sensitivity encounter group via the media. Thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here or there. The Doctor is In, that is the title. Stolen from Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon. She charged a nickel. Now, back in those days when Lucy was running her operation, a nickel could buy you a used car. At least that's what my kids think. I'll say things to my kids like, you know, I started working at the food place and we were making $1.25 an hour. Yeah, Dad, for $1.25 you could put down a down payment on a house. You could buy a truck, pay for a semester of college. All right. Number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825. Already had a call and a hang-up. That's interesting. Call, hang-up. Now, given cell phones, that happens a lot. Didn't used to happen on landlines. You ever notice that? Landlines, if you called on a landline, you didn't go, oh, we were cut off. That just didn't happen. But we did get a call, and she's gone. So I'll give the number again, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I was at the office this morning doing psychology stuff. Gone to the office this afternoon doing psychology stuff. But here during this brief interlude, can't do actual therapy or diagnosis, but we can talk. Give a few ideas, maybe a little education, something you don't understand about psychology or sociology or life or existence. I don't understand it either, but between the two of us, we can muddle around, stumble our way forward, and find something, perhaps, of usefulness. Oh, okay, that's a comment. All right, I'll take that comment on. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Okay, couple of items of business. Because the programs were recorded, I didn't get a chance right after last Thursday night to thank the Dallas people, the affiliate of Guadalupe Radio Network, Dave Palmer, Cecil, all the gang there, Bob, and the many, many folks who came out that night for their summer speaker series, their 16th. Summer Speaker Series, wonderful bread and butter type group, and I thank you so very, very much for coming out and your hospitality and letting me be there. I got a couple more Guadalupe affiliates coming up to get to speak to those folks, and hopefully they're far enough apart in distance where people won't yell, get new material. I heard that one in Dallas. Come on. Hopefully. So I want to thank those folks. Also, got a couple of neat announcements here to make. We got two more members in the EWTN radio family. We just found out there's like 600 stations. St. John Paul the Great in Tiffin, Ohio, that radio station, and the Sword of St. George in Manhattan, Kansas. 9 years now with EWTN. Congratulations to Patricia Kress at WSJG and Kent Hampton at KSWZ from all of us here at EWTN. Very, very nice. Nice to see it. All right, what else? Any more items of business? No. On to the manalog. This manalog probably would be the most controversial and be the most prone to be misheard, misinterpreted, misunderstood. A lot of misses. Misses. Sorry, I can't say miss. of anything. And I think that in and of itself adds credence to some of the points I'm about to make. Many, many years ago, I used to visit a show in Cleveland called, oh gosh, what was that Cleveland morning show? I forget. But it's long since off the air. And those morning shows in a lot of places. I used to do a morning show in Pittsburgh. I used to do a morning show in Indianapolis. Various places. And those local shows have pretty much gone by the wayside. Did some in Boston. Because they're expensive. And they usually bring someone in that is syndicated. It's a lot cheaper. This particular show was talking about spanking. I was there, and there was a woman there who was a child development person. I don't know exactly what her degrees were, what her credentials were. She was just held out as a child development person. But I knew just on the basis of predicting from base rates that there was a 98.276543% chance that there's no way this woman would not only have a muted approach towards spanking, but she would be violently opposed to spanking. Partway through the show, the host, Fred, asked me, "Ray, have you ever spanked your children?" I said, yeah. Some of them have got a few swats when they were little. Some of them didn't. Some of them never even pushed it that far. I thought that was just sort of a balanced, benign kind of statement. Oh, no, she didn't. She turned to me. "Your children fear you then." Oh, now see, that's exactly what I mean about hysteria surrounding spanking. How could she say something like that? Of course, that's what I said to her. I said, "How can you say something like that? You don't know me. You don't know my children." And then, when I had her on the psychological ropes, "Oh, sorry, violent image." I said, "Besides, I want my children to fear me in certain contexts. I want them to fear my reaction." Well, she didn't like that. She didn't like that at all. Got home later that day. My little six-year-old son, seven, somewhere about that time, was watching the show with his mom. Morning Exchange. That's the name of the show. Just hit me. Oh, sorry. Still using that language. Just hit me. She said, "Andrew, do you fear Daddy?" Now, he said something that, well, kind of bothered me a lot. And you know how kids can say things in their innocence that just reverberate through your head and you're thinking, "Oh, no, what?" Well, he did. He did say that. She asked him, "Andrew, do you fear Daddy?" He said, "No." Now, that's what bothered me a little bit. Spanking is, oh, it is definitely one of the cultural sins. We pretty much have a culture where you're allowed to do anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want, with anyone you want. But the new sins are smoking, spanking, and having more than 1.86 children in marriage. Those are the new cultural sins. Do not mishear me. I'm not advocating spanking. Not at all. I'm not saying you have to spank. I'm not saying you don't have to spank. I don't like what's happened. First of all, let me summarize it very quickly. There is no legitimate, what would be called double-blind, placebo-controlled studies, the gold standard, that says spanking done in a loving home, under control, generally with the younger kids, causes any of these ill effects, psychological, emotional, social, religious, or otherwise, that have been flung its way. Now, I said that once at a talk, And one of the mental health people in the audience there, just chastised me up one side and down the other in an email and said, are you denying all of the surveys that talk about 98% of men in prison have had corporal punishment? There is evidence over and over and over again that children who are subjected to physical and corporal punishment have much worse adjustment issues. Well, first of all, that's not exactly true, because there is research that says that some kids in certain situations actually do better in a loving spanking home. But that aside, those are not really studies in the strict sense of the word. Those are surveys. And typically they tend to be retrospective surveys. Retrospective means looking back and recalling and trying to figure out. Now, I don't doubt at all that the guys in prison as a group have been heavily spanked and erratically spanked and experienced corporal punishment. I do not doubt that for one moment. Also, the guys in prison had a very, very high percentage lack of fathers in the home. They also had lack of moral upbringing. As groups now. They also had temperaments that kind of bent them a certain way. So, the spanking may have been part of, but see, here's the problem, you call it spanking. Was it? Was it spanking? Or was it erratic, over-the-top, nasty hitting? I would say, of all the things that parents can do in the umbrella of discipline, the experts would be most vehemently against any kind of swatting on the bottom. Now, if they're going to be against it, they've got to have some research to be against it. Now, they'll say they do. Oh, yeah, we got, oh, the studies are overwhelming. No, they're not. That's the first thing. And they're not really studies. That's the second thing. But the third thing, it's all very contextual. Where's it done? By whom? In what circumstances? At what age? Many people spank badly. There's no question about that. They spank when they've had enough. Or they spank when they're emotional. Or they just swing first and ask questions later. There's no doubt about that. No doubt. Oh, man, I'm way over. I got so much more to say. Let me close with this. And many, many points to make. Maybe I'll do this in future monologues. For most of human history, and even up until a couple generations ago, predominantly in our culture, how children were punished physically would now get the parents in trouble for abuse. Now, I'm not certainly advocating doing that. But what I'm saying is that if we look back on all of human history and we say all those people at all times and places were so horridly misled, we've got it right. There is a certain smell of arrogance with an attitude like that. They knew nothing. More than that, they knew bad. One more point. If you look at the violence statistics from the days when children were not only spanked, but really got whippings, they're much, 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 much lower than they are now. Much. Dr. Ray, follow your own advice. You're arguing apples and oranges. No. I'm taking your rules. Your rule says spanking breeds violence. Okay. Independent of wherever it happens, however it happens, whomever does it and whomever receives it, it breeds violence. No matter what. Because that's what you say. Many of them say that. That's the experts' theories. If so, if there is a direct link between spanking and violence, then why, in fact, was the violent figures, the social statistics of acting out maladjustment, so much less? So much less. People didn't lock their doors. Didn't have to. Dr. Ray, there are many other factors that enter into that kind of violence. Yes, I agree totally. But you said spanking in and of itself causes violence in children. That's what you, that's your theory. Explain then why, when it was much more pervasive and really much much more intense, we didn't have a lot more of that. And that is as it has become eliminated in our child rearing practices across the board, it hasn't really led to any kind of decrease at all. Many, many ways to talk about this, but that's just a couple of points here. Again, don't mishear me. See, this is what you got to do when you talk spanking. You got to qualify yourself. You got to qualify yourself up one side and down the other. No, I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking a little gentle tap on the behind. That's if you listen to any expert who talks about spanking, that's how they do it. They qualify themselves pre and post comment. So, given that, don't mishear me. I'm not advocating either way. I just don't like the hysteria that surrounds it completely with minimal nuance. Dr. Ray.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
As Christians, we are taught that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And in Ephesians, it reads, "No bad word should come from your mouth, but only what is good and edifying, that it may give grace to those who hear." If you want to have a clean mouth without having to use soap, start by cleansing the heart. Think back to those various points in life when the anger that festered inside eventually percolated up and right out of your mouth with words of hate for people who have hurt you, offended you, lied to you, used you, abused you, stole from you, or perhaps altered your life forever. When we hold on to the past, we cloud the love of Jesus Christ, and what emerges is the pain inflicted on us from mankind. If you find yourself cursing, spewing hateful words about others, or often negative about life, then close your mouth and open your heart. Fill it with the love of our Lord, and let His words emerge from your mouth. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Major privilege. Are we allowed to use that word? I don't know. That could be one of those words you're not allowed to use anymore. Man, they come and go. You know, in the words of Roy Hobbs. Well, no, it wasn't Hobbs' words. It was Max Mercy, the sports writer who was dogging Hobbs. They come and they go, Hobbs. They come and they go. That's what happens with our language. These words come and go, come and go, come and go, and you try to keep up with it. Lenny, I spurred a comment from Lenny. He raised six children, and he found out, of course, what I found out with my 10. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Lenny. How you doing, Dr. Ray? Good to hear you and talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Like you said, I raised six kids, and what I found is that discipline is different for each one of them. My middle son, I could spank, like I was telling your gentleman that answered the call, I could spank him from sunrise to sunset, and he would come in and say, "I did something wrong, hurry up, spank me so I can get out and play."
He'd look at you, Lenny, like, is that all you got?
And, well, no, because, you know, when, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because if I stood him in a corner, you thought I was killing him. And my oldest daughter, if I sent her to her room, she was happy because all she would do is go in there and read books, which I usually had to pull her out of her room and stop her from reading to punish her for something. So every child is different. The other thing is, I believe the Bible in Proverbs makes mention of the wisdom of a parent that doesn't spare the rod. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. So, I mean, that, you know, that's right from Scripture that, you know, discipline is to be put down. And
well, Lenny, you know what a response... You know what a response to that would be? You might have to turn your radio down there, Lenny. We're getting a little back push here. Nobody wants to hear what I say once, let alone twice. Response to that would be, well, you know, that was understanding of that time. Understand that. Similar to if a child is disrespectful in public, stone him. We certainly don't do that anymore. So that scripture was written for a different time, culture, and place. That's the comeback on that.
Well, that's easy to say, but what are the statistical facts on juvenile delinquency ever since Dr. Spock came out and all these other psychologists that say don't spank your child? We see an increase in gun violence and school violence, violence against the parents, from not disciplining their child, from not spanking when they're young and instilling that. You know,
you're talking, Lenny, you're talking to a guy who's made a living out of saying that so much of modern psychology has ruined parents. And it isn't just the whole spanking controversy. It is authority. It is, in many respects, what's called gentle parenting, which can be nice if you have a kid who responds to gentle parenting, but some kids need a firmer parenting. So you're right. You might want to turn that radio off there, Lenny. It's bouncing on us. So
yeah, I got it off. I'm on my mobile phone.
Oh, okay. That's where we're getting it. So you're right. We have in across the board in multiple ways, not the least of which is the crack up of the family, giving God the boot. All of those ways have resulted in what we're seeing among our young people in skyrocketing surveys on maladjustment and pathology. You're right there, Lenny. Thanks for the call, buddy.
I think some of those. All righty.
I'll talk to you. I got a call from Martha here from St. Louis, Mo. She said she just turned 20. Martha, I hope you're still listening. Her mother says that a person's 20s are the hardest time in their life. Now, if mom were on the line, Martha, maybe you can have your mom call. Why does she think that? Now, my guess would be it's when you struggle most with religion. Across the board, it's almost semi-universal. People will say, yeah, I drifted from God in my 20s. How much of that's related to college? How much of that's just related to that time of life? They'll say things like, what is my direction? What do I want to do with my life? Who am I going to meet? So there's so much of trying to decide who one is, where one wants to go, that happens in the 20s, because that's the first whiff of independence that most people really get. Now, it didn't used to be that way. Independence used to come at 13, 14, and 15. Now, Martha says, Dr. Ray, would you stay on the air for the next 10 years? Martha. Martha, 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 you worry about such things. Mary has the better way. I would say, Martha, if I can stay on the air for one more year, I'm going to take it a year at a time. Martha said, you got to, Dr. Ray. I want to make it through this decade. Martha, I don't know you, but if you're listening to Catholic radio at age 20, something tells me you're going to do just fine through your 20s. Real nice to have you with me. I appreciate it so very, very much. 877-573-7825. I recall not giving that number out, or maybe giving it out just once. 877-57-EQUAL. A lot of time left. A lot of lines there. We have a whole bunch of lines in this program here. Not just my lines. We have, like, phone lines. 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about something in your life, a kid, marriage, stress point, emotion, something you don't understand about psychology, or even something you don't understand about the faith. I certainly don't have the knowledge of some of the great apologists that are on EWTN Global Catholic Network, but I try to learn something from them, and at my age, if you pay attention, you pick up a few things. We got an anonymous grandma calling, and she's okay. She says she's okay. It says right there, okay. Oh, wait. Sorry. Oklahoma. Hi, Grandma.
Hi.
I have a lady in my office. Let me interrupt you a second here. I have a lady that has come to me in my office, and she is bothered by the same thing you're going to bring up.
Been ongoing with my daughter and my three grandchildren, giving gifts, birthdays, Christmas. No thank yous. And I've addressed it different ways, and nothing has been resolved, and I'm not sure what to do from this point.
How much money do you want me to save you?
No, I've talked about it. I don't know what to do.
How much money you want me to save you?
Yeah, well, I love to give gifts. That's one of my love languages, so it's tough. Rough stuff.
How old are the kids?
How old?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They turned 11, 8, and 6 now.
So mom would be probably the one to motivate them to write something, correct?
Yeah, but even when I give mom gifts, I've had the same problem with my daughter, which I've addressed with her. So,
well, then it ain't hard to understand, is it?
Yeah, very much. And she wasn't brought up that way. She had to write a thank you note before she could play with the gift from my mom, you know, her grandma. So.
Why do you think she didn't absorb that?
I have no idea. It's a mystery. It is such a mystery. And it hurts. It hurts, too.
Oh, now that's where you're making a mistake.
Okay.
First of all, okay, let me explain the mystery and the personalization. I don't think it's such a mystery. I think that it's more common for a generation who's been raised pretty comfortably, pretty materially comfortably, to get sloppy and lazy regarding stuff that comes their way.
Okay.
A subtle kind of expectation that, I get stuff. That's right. Okay. They expect it. My mom, who grew up during the Depression, anything she got, oh, my gosh, what a bonus that was. You know, and you made sure you thanked that person because that was special. Well, two generations later, I think commonly the kids are like, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's nice. I got one of those. Okay, well, I got 27 of those. Oh, yeah, give me that. Let's go out to eat, and I'll make sure I get a toy to go with it. I get my hair cut. I get 3 rubber spiders. Oh, I know my Sunday school verses. What do I get? Do I get to go to the goodie bag? Okay. There's so much of that, and I think that directly trickles into what? Write a thank you note? I mean, that takes effort, man. I mean, you know, kind of. Now, you might say, well, why can't they even call and say thank you, right?
That's right. Exactly. It just happened last month or two.
Mm-hmm. It's a sloppy laziness. Now, here is where I'm going to dispel your personalization, and then I'm going to save you some money. Yeah. This is nothing personal. This is your daughter's sloppiness, laziness, whatever it is. You've told her about it, and she still isn't doing it.
That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're thinking, well, forgive me for putting words in your head, but I know you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I've told her. So the fact that she still hasn't done it is telling me she doesn't care what I think about this. She doesn't care about my feelings. That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. That's not it. That was not an easy, that was not a hard extrapolation. So, no, it has nothing to do with you. Now, here's where we save you some money. You said, I like giving gifts. Okay, tougher question here, Grandma. What is your motive for continuing to give all these gifts all the time to the kids who never even say thank you?
Motive. I just love doing it. I don't get much contact with them, and this is a way for me to connect with them.
Okay, so the motive is I want to show you I love you, and the motive is I hope you love me back.
I don't even know if I think that, but, I just enjoy it so much for me.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. You're talking to a psychologist. You say you enjoy it, but yet you're terribly bothered because you don't enjoy it because they don't say thank you.
Well, I mean, I can let it go, which I have. I've done it. So,
what if you started giving, you could do a couple of things. Less occasions. In other words, you don't need to give them a stuffed animal because it's Groundhog Day, right?
It's just Christmas birthday. That's it.
Basically. Okay, Christmas birthday. Then here's the second part. Less amount.
Okay, I've done that, too.
Well, there you go. I can only speak for myself. Again, this is not a psychological issue. But if I'm going to have a repeated lack of expression of gratitude from my grandkids or my kids, my giving of material stuff is going to trickle away. Now, that's me. You may be a whole lot softer hearted than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might be more nervous than I am because you'll say, yeah, but if I do that, I have a tentative contact with them anyway because they live several states away. And what kind of grandma am I? And what if they think what kind of grandma am I, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know, my dear. You're going to have to decide. You got to weigh it. You can say, okay, I'm going to continue to do this, and I'm going to forget the fact that I'm not getting thank yous. That's just it. Not getting them.
Okay.
I can accept that. That's the way it's going to be. Hopefully, as they get older at 15, 16, they may decide, you know what? I better tell grandma thank you because I do appreciate that $50. But on the other hand, if you say to yourself, this is mom's fault. This isn't the kid's fault. This is mom's fault. What 6-year-old is going to sit down and write a thank you note? So
mm-hmm.
You're going to say, I'm going to slow it down a little bit, and let's see if mom notices. Now, I don't know what your relationship with your daughter is. It may be tentative. It may be a weak
it
one.
It is. It is.
Ah,
fine, and I don't
I
know
knew
why,
it.
Actually.
I knew it. I knew it. And you go do that right at the break. All right, Grandma, there's your options, but give me a call back. Send a gift to me. I will write you a thank you note. It will be effusive. It will be in my own handwriting. I will put little hearts all around it, and I will directly deposit it into my checking account. Aspiring to inspire before I expire. Martha, that one was for you. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here, Doctor is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production, Ave Maria Radio Communications. And I've just been informed now the stations are about 600. I didn't know that. They gather as I travel around to the various networks under the EWTN umbrella. I'm finding that they're always reaching out to get more signals. God bless them. They are using your support wisely and charitably in reaching more and more folks. And by the way, just a little word of encouragement It has been attributed to Father Benedict Groeschel, wonderful man, incredibly insightful priest, psychologist. He said that one of a factor in keeping the American church from tending towards schism with Rome, from Rome, is Catholic media. Catholic media has been a potent force in constantly and pretty much most places expressing the gospel. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call if you'd like to get on the phone. It is the a little bit more than the bottom of the hour, but we still do have some time. I want to make a comment just a little more when I said in my opening monologue about it's very hard to study spanking with a double-blind placebo-controlled. Take two groups and you try to control them for age, religion, as many factors as you can control to make them identical. And you instruct the one group, you are not to spank for the next 3 years. Let's say they have 3 to 5 year old children. For the next 3 years, you are not to spank. The other group, you tell them, you who have said you have a certain belief that spanking can be appropriate under certain circumstances. See how even I qualify? You can spank. And assuming that these are people who would for the next 3 years. Now the catch is, double blind means the designer of the experiment doesn't know which group, and the people in the group don't know which group they're in. So that would mean that the non-spankers don't know that they're non-spankers, and I don't know that they're non-spankers, and the spanker group doesn't know that they're a spanker group, and I don't know they're a spanker group. You see, it's not possible. But then after 3 years, you flip it. And then the non-spankers become the spankers, and the spankers aren't allowed to spank. And then you tally up the outcomes. The effects. You see, you can't do something like that. You are forced to rely upon surveys. Do you spank? How much? What age? When? Are you married? Are you not married? My experience as a clinician, and I think there's even research to support this, survey research anyway, is a lot of spanking, people who spank a lot, that is a reflection of their frustration in their discipline, their frustration with child rearing. And so it is that frustrated or even bad parenting that causes the problem. The spanking is a symptom of the struggle in the parenting. It is not a cause struggle in the parenting. Let's go to Mary. Let's go to Mary from St. Louis. And she said, are we still talking to her? Okay. Because she's going to follow up. She has some ideas here on the grandma from another state whose grandkids just simply don't, in essence, ever say thank you for the stuff that grandma sends their way. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
All right, give me some good stuff.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm not a grandma, but I hope to be soon. I have had a grandma, I've had a mom, and I was taught to write thank you notes. First and foremost, I hear this a lot, but I think the first step is to kind of start praying with your kids. If you're at the park and it's a beautiful blue sky, then you just say, hey, wow, look at that blue sky. Aren't we thankful that it's a blue sky? Oh, let's thank God that it's a blue sky. Or isn't this a lovely meal, let's say, of grace? You just start those baby steps of introducing the idea that you should be thankful for a lot of, or you can be thankful. You can convey thanks for everything going on in your life, right? There's a butterfly, say thank you. Then my mom gave us a book, and my sisters make fun of it. When my mom passed away, they made me take it. But it's a please and thank yous, and it's a children's book, and they're out there. And my grandma used to sit and read this book with us, and it was about table manners, and my grandma made it not like a study session, but like a fun, like, this is just another book you read. And everything was, my memory was that things were joyful around these kinds of approaches to life. And I'm not saying everything was hunky-dory in my family. I'm one of 10, but that was the pervasive idea. Then I was given stationery with my name on it. Then like my grandma would write us a thank you note. Thank you for having me for Christmas. You know, she would role model this behavior. Problem.
Now, Mary, you have finally touched upon the direction I was going to go with you, which is what you say is good when the parent is willing to teach the kids about gratitude. In our grandparents' call, she said her daughter doesn't do any of that. So,
well, but Ray, and I respect you completely, she's a very busy gal, and she might not recognize that she's not, I don't think a lot of people, I think you're right, a lot of people in our world don't think that, but they can be. How many times do you go to the grocery store and you're in a bad mood and somebody's smiling and they say, hi, have a great day? It kind of makes you change your outlook.
Did you hear what she said at the end? Mary, did you hear what she said at the end?
I probably was thinking about what I was going to say, but go ahead.
She said that relationship with her daughter has kind of always been strained.
Yeah. And that, so, but, you know.
So, in other words, I think your advice would, for Grandma, which would be, Grandma, write a thank you note to them for something, whatever that
even
might be.
If it was a burnt hamburger, you're going to make it sound like the most wonderful meal.
There you go. Now, maybe you're right.
You know what? My girlfriend puts letters, like thank you notes, out on her front hall table. She, like,
Grandma could mail them. Grandma could mail them a box of stationery. And have the thank you note written out. Yeah, have the thank you note written out. Dear Grandma, I just want to thank you for the gift that you gave me, and then just have them sign it at the end. Mary, thanks for the good idea from Grandma's perspective. This is Dr. Ray up against break.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind, a small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at avemaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind, a small town.
The format of the Eucharistic celebration in the Catholic Church has remained virtually the same for almost 2,000 years. Around 155 AD, St. Justin Martyr explained the Mass to the pagan emperor Antoninus Pius in this way. On the day of the sun, he told Pius, Christians gather in the same place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read. When the readings are finished, the presider admonishes and challenges those gathered to imitate the beautiful things just read. The homily is followed by prayers of petition for those gathered and for all others. The kiss is exchanged. Then the presider is presented with offerings of water and wine and the bread, over which he prays extensively. When the prayers are concluded, the deacons give to those present the consecrated bread and wine. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Being loved for my mind or being disliked for my mind, it depends. Depends on the call. Depends upon how someone looks at it. Thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Ray. A couple calls left here. Martha, the young lady, the 20-year-old, who called and then hung up on me, which brings back horrible memories, but nevertheless, she hung up on me, but now she's calling me back, which I had two girls do that once in college. Both of them said, Ray, you didn't finish this last math problem that I wanted you to do for me. So Martha says, my speculation on why her mom said that the 2020s decade is the toughest. And I offered my thoughts, and her mom said, Dr. Ray is right. Thank you. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Well, what exactly, I remember what I said, but what did your mom say about what I said?
Oh, she doesn't know I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're not allowed? Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. Is this sneaky? Did you have to go outside? And okay.
Yeah, I'm hiding under my blanket right now.
Yeah, delete this number from your phone, you know, okay. So she doesn't go scrolling through it. So she said that, of course, 20s were struggling with the faith. 20s were, who am I? What direction am I going in life? What's going on?
Right.
My first smell of independence. She said all those things, huh? Do you think that?
I can kind of see where she's going with it, but maybe a little bit.
What if you don't run into that kind of what if you go through your 20s and you say, no, I really like my 20s. I loved my 20s. Absolutely loved my 20s. So what if you don't experience that?
Oh, I guess she was wrong.
Well, don't say that. Say, Mom, for daughters that are much less well-wrapped than I am, I can understand why you would think that. Although, Mother, I am a bit offended that you would think that I, a combination of intellect and emotional stability, would struggle through those years. You could do that to her.
I don't know if she'd like it, but okay. What do you think about it?
I was in college through much of my 20s. And that was just a good time. I just loved college. And I met my wife in the latter part of my 20s. And she's just a wonderful human being. So all of it. And one other thing, this is really important. When I was in my 20s, in softball, I'm a right-handed batter. I could still hit the right field line, which is impressive when you're a right-handed batter. Yeah, and I had power, too. I could still every once in a while put a ball over somebody's head. So that was big. And the other thing in my 20s, I benched 300, and I militaried 200. I put 200 pounds over my head. And I ran in the house.
20 sounds really fulfilled.
Yes, I ran in the house at age 21, screaming. I was in the garage when I did it, because I was 170 pounds. I ran in the house, Mom, I put 200 over my head. So, my goals were very, very cheap. And so maybe that's why I was so easily contented, Martha,
Yeah. I think I got a pretty good start. I got a job already and everything, so.
I think maybe your mom was just warning you, don't, if it gets a little bumpy, it's kind of typical.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm always here for you,
Okay. So that's why I said you need to stay on for at least 10 more years.
Oh, man. You know what will happen by then, Martha, another 10 more years? It'll be like this. What? Hello? Who is this? What? Hello? Hello? Get off my phone. Yeah, probably that's what will start
happening.
You're
not that old.
Huh? What?
Aren't you... You sound... Oh, I said you sound like you're 40.
Yeah, I'm a long way from 40, my dear, but I do appreciate that. Thank you so much, Martha. You take good care.
Thank you.
All right, honey. Call anytime.
Okay.
Oh, Jackie. Jackie, you got 1 minute. Quick. Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you? Just again about the thank you note.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's mother, daughter, grandmother, whatever. I think it's just everyone. As an aunt, I sent a baby gift. Never
I agree.
Got a thank you note.
I see a lot of kids for their wedding showers and their wedding gifts that don't get around to it, if they do, for months.
Even a nephew, he just graduated John Carroll University, sent him a check. Not even a thank you. So after this and hearing this on the radio, I'm going to be that aunt that never sends anything anymore. Because it's just like, it's so sad. It's sad. They're ungrateful.
Yeah, I think it is indicative of not only a pervasive lack of gratitude, but a pervasive sense of material comfort and expectation. But I will tell you this, Jackie, I only got 10 seconds. Give me 10% of what I saved you. I think that's the least you can do. Kind of a finder's fee. Thank you, Jackie. This is Dr. Ray. Gotta run. Walk with God and always be grateful for that one.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.